Blog Talk Radio.
Divine All Blessed, you are listening now live to The Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, advisor, Oloye Hoodoo Obeya Bokor. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1. on your telephone keypad, and I will be with you momentarily. You are now tuned in to Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. Psychics can indeed predict, but Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes get results. Do you want to talk about it? Are you ready for powerful, lasting, spiritual results? You have reached a real expert, professional voodoo priest. I'm not an image behind a computer. I'm a real person who exists and performs in a real community here in this beautiful city, this enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Treme neighborhood, French Quarter, professional expert psychic reader, well-documented, world-renowned, rated, scientifically tested practitioner. I'm also a licensed and certified minister in the Universal Life Church. Our tenets are freedom of religion, and by all means, do no harm. But indeed, when forced to battle, we battle. When the time calls for battle, we battle. And picking up where we left off previously on the last show, we talked about the migration of the Iwe, the Fon, the Yoruba, the Hausa, the Nago spirits to the New World via the Middle Passage, via slavery. Generationally, we lost connection with those mysteries. Sometimes we lost connection with the name. Sometimes we lost connection with the tradition as families were forced into division, into separation through oppression, through slavery, through racism, through systematic oppression. Then we evolved into a time of amalgamation, if you will, migration, merging of the root spirits or the ancestral deities of the Caribbean, of the Native Americans, of the Houma, of the Choctaw, of those who originally inhabited these lands. Now, that would probably be the first major evolutionary difference between New World voodoo, both in America and in Haiti and the Caribbean, but also West African voodoo. West African voodoo does have a history of amalgamation. If you visit Benin, if you visit Togo, you will see an amalgamation of Hindu spirits with the traditional ancestral West African deities. So this is not unique to the New World, although it's often purported to be unique to the New World. And it's often used as a tool, one of the tools to lessen the credibility, to lessen the impact, to lessen the viability of New Orleans and Louisiana specific paths in voodoo. We must consider the introduction in retributive magic, protective magic, battling magic. Because of the conditions of enslavement, because of the conditions of the oppression that our people were forced to live under in the New World, this is the birth of hoodoo, root work, conjure. And let me stop and say, all of these paths, all of these traditions have their symbolism, have their doctrine, have their practice, but they also have a language. We cannot underestimate the effect of Western language on how we view, interpret, understand these practices. I had an encounter most recently with someone who purported to be a white witch. That's the first bell. Where's my bell? That's my first bell. The second bell is, as with many of these people who dabble in various paths, pagan paths, witchcraft paths, attempt to dabble in West African paths, have a lot of work done all over the place, invite various diverse spirits into their realm of existence, and then they seek the practitioners in New Orleans to fix it. And it, you know, it flies in the face of New Orleans doesn't have real voodoo. New Orleans is, you know, bastardized voodoo. New Orleans is some mix of something else. And if you know your history, if you've been listening to the 7 years of shows I've been doing here, if you've been doing the research on the topics, you know that that's not unique to New Orleans. It's not unique to Haiti. It's not unique to Cuba. It's not unique to anywhere you will find voodoo. The spirits continue to expand, to evolve, to remake themselves to fit the time and the need. New Orleans is specific, as is Haiti, in revolutionary voodoo. We brought evolution, if you will, to the practice by way of revolution, by way of retributive magic, by way of having to battle and combat the wickedness and the evil that is oppressive, that is racism, that is the foundation of the new world. So white witch is a bell. Now you're bound up. You need my help, but you're so well-read, and I'm being diplomatic, that you think yourself an expert. And let me make an announcement. If you're an expert, you don't need me. You don't need my help. You don't need my advice. You don't need my assistance. Okay, so here we are, you know, and now you want me to break protocol, to change what I do to sort of fit your vision, to sort of fit your misunderstanding of our tradition. And that's why I do these shows. You know, some people say I do too much teaching. Some people say it's too much music, you know, but there is a formula to what I do here, what I share here on Blog Talk Radio. It is my opportunity to open a window, to open a door into authentic New Orleans voodoo practice, to give some understanding to the history, to the tradition, to the practice, in a clear, concise, documented way. And I don't expect that everyone is going to be open or receptive to that. You know, we are on the internet. It's a smorgasbord of entertainment. And my show has never been entertainment oriented. If it's entertaining, all is a blessing. If you enjoy the music, wonderful. If you enjoy the text, great. But my presence here is to teach, to share, to allow access to what is authentic here in the city by those who are authentically doing the work here in the city. And again, to do it in a clear and concise manner. I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. Area code 770, Divine Peace and Blessings. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
My name is Sandy, Florida.
Yes, how may I assist you?
Well, I don't really know anything about what you do, and how you do it, and if you can assist people. But my husband's having major problems with a boss or a company, and all he wants to do is stave them off till he can get out of there and get another position.
Okay, now, have you actually physically been on his work site? Or do you have some idea as to what does he work in an office? Does he work in a large building? Give me some idea as to what physical environment he's in every day.
It's they have several buildings. It's ordnance. In other words, military type things, you know, grenades.
Okay, I got you. You don't have to say any more. Now, is he having a problem with a particular individual or a group of people?
Well, the particular individual is the original, the main core of it, but it's the whole group, the whole management.
Yeah, that might be a little bit more complex. Now, I was going to attempt to give you a really common ritual that we use to sort of create imbalance in the workplace, to distract their focus from him, as you said, to buy a little bit more time for him to sort of maneuver there. But I'm not sure if you would be able to pull it off in that environment. Now,
The thing is they're hitting several people at once, so mm-hmm. possibly, you know?
Yeah, I would have, in a office or a more confined area, even if, this particular individual that might be the problem, even if he had access to his office or his personal area, generally I would drop peanut hulls. The shells, the outside parts of peanuts, it's an old New Orleans hoodoo practice. And it
peanut
will
holes.
Sort of, yes, absolutely. And it will create, let me tell you a quick story. There are older people even now in Louisiana who won't allow you in their house with peanuts for this very reason. They know that they've been used in practice. And they cause disharmony, disunity. And in a workplace, particularly if you're battling with one person, it can deflect that person's energy away from you. It can cause them to get caught up in their own network of negative energy, if you will, and would buy time and allow your husband to maneuver and either get out of there or do whatever his next move would be, which is why I started out asking if you could kind of describe the environment. But if it's a really big area and it's more common area than it is private or individualized area, that would be harder to do. So I would a stone, a crystal, or a stone, and particularly
I've got crystals.
Aragonite is often somewhere between brown, tan, and sometimes even clear. It looks like a cluster of many crystals coming out from one central point, almost like a star.
Yeah.
It's a relatively inexpensive stone. It's called aragonite. He could carry that. Again, if it was possible for him to leave that somewhere hidden, of course, but in the direct vicinity of the person or people that are causing the problem, that would be helpful. But if he could not do that, he could just simply carry it on him. Another stone that will be good to carry would be hematite. Hematite is a iron ore.
Yeah, I know that
iron
one.
Ore, I believe. Yeah, and it has a very metallic-like appearance. It can create a very strong psychic, energetic shield around him. It will also increase his strength and his power in that environment without the sort of the negative backlash or repercussion that would normally come with being more direct and even authentic, I believe, in that environment. So that would be another option that he could do in that environment. You could also, you know, always send me an email and I could get more detail that I wouldn't have you share live on air and see if there are other things we could consider.
Okay, because I don't have, I may have one of those magnetic spheres. I would have to look for it. I don't have a Ragonite. I do have lots of different crystals.
Yeah, I would go with regular, just a small piece of polished hematite. I wouldn't use the magnetic hematite. I hate to break the news to you, but magnetic hematite is not real hematite. It is a mineral, but it's a very different mineral that's able to better hold a magnetic charge than natural hematite. So, but it's often sold and marketed as, you know, magnetic hematite. But honestly, that's not real hematite. That's another mineral altogether. What crystals do you have?
I have a lot of, right here, I have a lot of quartz. I've got a huge window crystal. I've got all kinds of things like that. I think I've got Herkimers.
Would be good. It's not too big because you want to go with a smaller stone, something he could carry in his pocket, that would not be noticeable. A Herkimer could also be good. It will operate similarly to the hematite, but from a very different perspective. Of course, because of its clarity, it has a higher light vibration to it. But if you could get just a small piece, you know, a dollar.
I've got several small Herkimers.
That could be helpful. And a Herkimer and a piece of hematite together would even be better.
Okay. And these peanut holes.
What part of the country do you live in?
It's down by the ocean.
You should have. There shouldn't be a rock shop that far from you, somewhere in Florida, where you can get, you know, just a regular.
Well, if not, I can order some stuff in and you know.
Yeah, you want a nice, smooth, pocket-sized piece of hematite to work along with the Herkimer diamond. And have
a nice,
them
what,
carry
what,
the...
blue?
I'm sorry?
You said a nice blue?
No, hematite. A nice piece of pocket-sized hematite.
Okay.
To work along with the Herkimer diamond and carry the hematite in his right pocket and the Herkimer diamond in his left pocket.
Okay.
Now, you were going to ask a question about the peanut hull?
Yeah. Do you put it, if there's different people, can you put it in their different offices?
Yeah. See, now, you know, if he had access to, like, their offices and could get them in their office, like, and hide it somewhere out of view, like under, you know, something that might not be moved all that often, like a file cabinet, you know, or in a back of a closet, but somewhere in the area where these people operate, but where it's not going to be readily perceived, because, you know, you don't want the night crew to come in and sweep it up right away. So if you hide it away.
Behind a file cabinet or something.
Yeah, carry it in his pocket, and when he can slip off, I would drop it in the back of a file cabinet. Drop a few pieces, and it don't take a lot. Two or three hauls, you know, in the back of a closet, two or three hauls underneath, you know, a seat cushion, somewhere where it's not going to be found, you know, maybe for a while, and definitely not readily visible.
Okay, because he's going to end up going over to HR, too. So if he could drop some in there the right way, that would be good, too.
Yeah, but he'd have to be really crafty, because he doesn't want to do it in a public space, you know, a traffic area. He wants to personalize it as best as he can.
Okay.
And in his mind, you know, I don't know how religious he is or what he does, you know, on a normal basis, but he wants to have in his mind binding the people who would otherwise cause him harm.
He would have to have what? Do in his mind what?
The binding of.
Oh, binding. Okay.
Yes, the binding of the people who would do him harm. I bind you from doing further harm. I bind you from harming me. You know, I bind you from preventing me from moving forward. You know, he didn't have to say it out loud, but he has to clearly have that intent in his mind.
Okay, well, he can do that.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure.
And the Argonite, what about it?
Aragonite.
Aragonite. A-R-A-G-O-N-I-T-E?
Correct. Aragonite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The crystalline form?
Correct.
Okay.
That crystalline, almost like a star-like configuration that's very popular right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also have...
And before you say that,
fairy crosses.
I want to say the aragonite is good because it, like any cluster, it can work with more than one person at a time. So if you're talking about, you know, a group of people, that's why I strongly suggest that. The hematite and the Herkimer is more personalized, individualized to him. It strengthens his energy. It will strengthen his field and sort of put a protection around him. But if he wants to
actively
do more.
Yeah, I actually have a hematite ring, but it's not here. It's in the other place that I have to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to be in his pocket.
Yeah, a small polished piece.
Okay.
A ring in his pocket wouldn't necessarily suffice. But listen, beloved, I've run out of time. I've run to the end of my show. Please,
okay.
By all means, send me an email. You could send it at DivinePrince@houseofthedivineprince.com. And I will be more than happy to assist you and continue the conversation.
Okay. I appreciate it.
And I wish you both the best.
Okay. We just need to get into a better situation.
Yes, I'm with you and for you in your endeavors. I'll be looking for your email.
Peace okay. Thank you.
Who wants to know? shunuku, oju shunuku, lo ye ka fi wo, oro shunuku, oro shunuku, oju shunuku, lo ye ka fi wo, oro shunuku, oro shunuku, oju shunuku, lo ye ka fi wo.